Item 6, Keith Avillard.
Yes.
Is that correct? Mr. Stagg?
Good morning. I am Ben Stagg. I'm also an environmental engineer. I also wear a second hat. I'm the co-chief engineer of the Engineering and Surveying Department, which does the oyster leasing program for the agency. So you'll see me up here with oyster ground cases, and you'll see me up here with environmental engineer cases. This is an environmental engineer case today. Next month, we'll have some oyster ground cases.
How long have you been with the commission now, man?
I've been here since 1983.
83.
I'm one of the relics.
You and me both.
This is an application, an after-the-fact, partial after-the-fact application and a partial application to reinstall some items that were installed and removed by Mr. Avillard. The main structures that are still in place are two previously unauthorized concrete block groin structures that extend approximately 30 feet channelward of mean low water. He's also asking to retain three previously unauthorized mooring poles at a couple locations in his riparian area. And he's also seeking authorization to install numerous PVC pipes, which would delineate both submerged hazards and a swimming area, and also to install up to 8 2-inch galvanized pipes to be used to secure, and also requested use of a water trampoline structure used seasonally, and also to install a zip line apparatus extending from the upland to one of the existing mooring piles, and to place a floating platform seasonally at various locations within his riparian area. All of these structures, or proposed structures, are located at his riparian property located along the James River in the Burles Bay area at 4001 River Landing Trail. This is in Olivet County. Project location, this is Olivet County. We are we're slightly south west of the previous application, which is across the river in Newport News. This is Olivet. It's generally the Rushmere area of Olivet. The town of Rushmere is here to the south. A subdivision called Rushmere Shores is here. This property is just south of that subdivision. And if you're familiar at all with Olivet, this is Bailey's Beach and Tyler's Beach. And there is a boat basin here that the local watermen use, and a channel going out to the James River. This general area is Burles Bay, and Point of Shoals Light structure is located here, although there's no light on it anymore. There is a structure there. Here's an aerial view of the property. This is the applicant's property located here. You can see the groin structures. The applicant had previously placed riprap along the shoreline, and I'll address that a little bit later in the evaluation. But that was authorized at the time, and then subsequent to that, installed these groin features. This came to light from a report from Olivet County, which noted a site visit at the location and found the structures that were previously mentioned, and they did some research and could not find any prior application for the groin structures. We could not also find any previous application for them. This resulted in a sworn complaint notice to comply both from the county and from BMRC. This was back in April of this year. We did conduct a site visit to the property and met with Mr. Avillard along with Kim Hummel from the Olivet County. At that site visit, we did indicate in a subsequent letter after the site visit that we felt some of the structures needed to be removed for safety reasons, but that Mr. Avillard could submit an application to retain the groins and the pilings and submit with that application also request to reinstall the other structures, including the floating platform, the trampoline, the zip line, and the pipes associated with the swimming hazards and the trampoline. Mr. Avillard is very cooperative in the process. He did submit an application as requested. We have subjected it to a public interest review. We have received no objections from the public related to any of his requests. During the process, because of he applied, the application was sent to the Army Corps of Engineers, which did not really have any comment that we're aware of what he was asking for. They did question the existence of the riprap, which they indicated they had did not have any application, prior application for that. We believe the reason for that is that riprap was placed after some storm events, and it was landward. At that time, it was landward of the Wetland Board jurisdiction and did not require, technically didn't really require JPA for us or the Wetlands Board. We believe that it would have qualified or did qualify for a nationwide permit under the Corps. We have not heard any other correspondence from the Corps since we addressed that issue with them. Ms. Daviard may have some additional information. But we believe that riprap was properly authorized. The shoreline may have changed some since then. The Corps seemed to think that the riprap went down to mean high water. We don't believe that it does even now. It certainly didn't at the time it was installed. So that kind of addresses that issue, I think. Because there are groins involved with this, which are in the intertidal area and subaqueous area, the project did require authorization from the county. Alahuite County has adopted the Beaches and Dunes Act as well as the Wetlands Ordinance, so they did hear this case. They did approve it. There was no objections at the county level as well, and the Wetlands Board did approve it and did not levy any kind of civil charge or penalty related to the structures. As I said, we've submitted to our public interest review. While the groin structures themselves, we've seen these before. I've presented a number of cases to the commission in the past in Surrey that use these concrete block structures that are really toward the Jersey wall type that you see on the highways. We don't really prefer those as groin type structures because they don't have any real mechanism to connect each unit together very well. However, saying that, these have been there for a number of years now and appear to be relatively stable and are actually collecting some sand at the site, and we will be recommending approval of those. The other items that Ms. Daviard has requested do present some challenges for staff to support for a number of reasons. This is a shallow area here, and I believe the applicant will probably indicate that he doesn't believe boat traffic really comes into this area. We're basically talking about the extent is basically in this footprint here where all of the structures either are or would be proposed to be reinstalled. He also indicated in his letter with the application that he believes, you know, this neighbor's pier kind of blocks boats from coming in from this direction. And later there will be a slide which will show an old wharf structure to the north that extends considerably further out in the river than any of the piers along here. However, that structure is about 500 feet away to the north. This pier is only about 60 feet from his property line and extends out about 175 feet. The wharf structure extends out about 400 feet into the river, but it is about 500 feet away, and you can't, it's off this exhaust the screen here. This is the drawing that was submitted with the application. Again, the groins are basically right inside his property lines as they come down to the mean low water. This represents the water trampoline with the pipe around it to hold it in place. This is the floating platform, and then there was a zip line apparatus, and I'll have some ground shots to show this, but basically attached to a tree on the upland at the top of the bank and extending out to one of the mooring piles that's out in the river. Again, a side view basically showing existing riprap, concrete groins, the anchored poles with the trampoline, and again, there's a couple of mooring piles here together with the zip line coming from a tree out into the river with a clearance of approximately 12 feet. At the channel would end. This is a series of photographs provided by the applicant. Here you can see the zip line coming down from the tree and then tethered off to two poles. Here's your water trampoline, again, the mooring poles. This is the remnant wharf that's off in the distance. As you can see there, again, the two groin structures. You can see how these blocks are 2x2x4 concrete blocks, relatively stable. And this is the floating platform. A few more pictures of depicting sort of the same thing. Again, the floating platform, the trampoline, same thing. Here's some of the PVC pipe marking the swimming area. And also, there is some debris in the water here, stumps. This shoreline used to go out much further, and over the years it's eroded, so there used to be trees out here. And he has marked some of that area for his own family's safety, I believe. And here's the final photograph again. The subject property is right here. I just wanted to show that wharf structure. It's nothing but pilings now, which is to the north of the applicant's property. While we can see that the area is shallow, as the applicant has indicated, and he indicated he didn't think many boats would come in there, we believe at high tide it is navigable for most boats that use the area, and certainly even at low tide it's navigable for jet skis. Therefore, the number of items being asked for, the pipe, the floating trampoline, we just feel that they do constitute hazards to navigation. They're not marked in any manner at night, and we just feel that they really concern us for safety reasons. Now, with the floating platform, Mr. Avera does not have a private pier, so we don't feel that, we feel that he, in lieu of a private pier, having a floating platform is probably fine. Unfortunately, the code does not provide any kind of exemption like it does for a private pier. A floating platform, therefore it would require a permit, but we could support that tethered to one of the mooring poles. So accordingly, after evaluating the project pursuant to the Code of Virginia, these are our following recommendations. While not the preferred type of design for the groin, we do recommend approval of the structures as installed. We also recommend approval of the floating platform and allowing the existing mooring piles to remain, provided that that platform is attached to the existing mooring piles at the site or secured by an anchor mechanism into the bottom and stays within the riparian area of the applicant. While we do understand the applicant's desire to use this area for recreational purposes, due to safety concerns, we cannot support the reinstallation of the zip line apparatus nor the placement of the floating trampoline if secured with PVC pipe or galvanized pipe. However, we could support installation seasonally of the trampoline if using an in-bottom anchor system. As for the marking of hazards or any other swimming area, we cannot recommend approval of marking these with pipes of any type. However, we would support marking a swimming area and or the hazards with some type of floats, more like a crab pot float, which would lessen the hazard to the boating public. We recommend, due to the fact that this is an after-the-fact request, that approval of any of the items requested be conditioned upon the payment of a triple permit fee of $75. Additionally, we would recommend the Commission consider accepting a civil charge in lieu of any further enforcement action for any of the after-the-fact approval. We believe a civil charge of $1,000 would be appropriate if any of the project after-the-fact portions are approved based upon a minimal impact and a minor degree of deviation or noncompliance of permitting requirements. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions of Mr. Stagg at this point? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ben, you commented about the floating trampoline, that if it were staked out, it would potentially be a hazard in navigation. And that it's not lighted, et cetera. So is that somehow resolved by the use of an in-bottom anchor system?
Well, I think we were concerned more with the pipes. The way he had it deployed originally, and he did remove the items that we asked him to remove during the process of the application, is that he had that staked with galvanized pipe. And obviously when it's not deployed, the galvanized pipe are there. you know, they're really very difficult to see even in the daytime. A galvanized pipe kind of blends right in. A PVC pipe is at least as white. So we felt that was really a hazard. We understand he has a floating trampoline. It's kind of a unique thing. We don't see too many of those. I got a lot of unique stuff here, zip line and everything else over the water. But, again, we understand he wants to use it for recreational purposes, and it seems that if it is possible to anchor it in a way that he can use it, and I don't know for sure whether he'll address that, but perhaps you have to have the pipes around it to make it stable enough to use. But we felt that any types of pipes out there just really constitute a hazard if not needed. If there's a different way to do it, it would be much safer. And if he doesn't leave it out there, he's just using this during summer months. All of this stuff gets pulled up and brought back on shore, the floating parts of it. But to leave the pipe out there, just we felt was just too much of a hazard for us to permit, and really a hazard for him. It's a liability if somebody hits these things.
Any other questions? Is the applicant present or represented? Come on up. Good morning, Mr. Aviard. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you will give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Keith Wayne Aviard. I live at 4001 River Landing Trail, Smithfield. First, good morning. Thank you for taking your time. Unlike power companies, I'm not a power company. I'm just a person who bought a piece of waterfront land who wants to enjoy it. I've dealt with Ben Stagg and his staff and Kim Hummel and their staff on these issues. Ben, can you do me a favor and go back to the very first slide that you did, please? I apologize. I didn't have the ability to bring these things in, but I went through a almost 9-month approval process to shore up my the very first one. We can do the second one then, please. Yes, that one. Mm-hmm. If I may go to the
well, there's a pointer, right? We need to stay at the microphone because we're recording.
When I bought the land, this land here is a cliff of 35 feet. So from the top straight down is a drop of 35 feet, and every storm undermines this, dropping this land into the water. For me to put this riprap system together took 9 months of approval processes through Smithfield because they were in the middle of a whose jurisdiction fight. Who can approve what, who could not approve what at that particular time. When this was put together, the neighboring entire brick, the entire wall here is made of the exact same structures that were here. So this one was semi there when I bought the land. In other words, I added 3 or 4 more to it in order to help stop erosion from this side of my land. This side here has had nothing done to it, and I get a constant on, because this is the north side, this isn't Fort Eustis, which has the wind on normal storms, hurricanes. It blows from Fort Eustis to me, not the opposite in most cases. So this takes a beating, and I have wraparound. So with that, I did install these concrete. They are movable. They're not permanent structures. They are heavy, yes, but they are 2 foot by 2 foot by 4 foot. So those have made, you can see the beach starting to form here. And as Mr. Stagg said earlier, this is not a project that was done last year. It wasn't a project that was done 2 years ago. This was done at the same time that that particular area was done. Now, I did not get a permit for that, but only out of ignorance, not out of facetiousness, because it was done at the same time the rest of this project was being done. So when it comes to the growings, I think that's pretty much as I can give you on that or would like to go over. The water here, as shown in your first slide, this area here on high tide is at best this deep. I have a 7-year-old daughter that at high tide can walk all the way out and it will not go over her head. So navigable would be only to a jet ski, or to jet boats, which is why I have purchased two jet boats to be able to use my own beach, because I do not have a dock, as Mr. Stagg has said. So a propeller-driven boat, unless it is a flat-bottom boat or one of the commercial fishing boats that do go up and down the beach there, would not be able to even get close to my property, even during high tide, except on an extreme high tide. As Mr. Stagg has said, this dock extends out farther. This here white spot is about where the mooring poles that I have for the zip line are. Up here, as Mr. Stagg has said, there is an old wharf that extends immensely offshore. But what is not shown is right here, there is also another set of submerged poles that during high tide are completely submerged, but during a normal mean tide, they are above water. So most people who navigate this part of the river have thousands, not just a few, but thousands of poles, pylons, PVC pipes, and all of that if they ride the shoreline. Now, this part of the river is over 5 feet wide. This isn't where people have to go. It is where they would have to make a direct effort.
You mean 5 miles wide?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, did I say 5 feet? 5 miles wide. They'd have to make a direct effort to even come anywhere close to my property. It would be the equivalent of me putting these blocks in my front driveway and someone saying that it's a hazard to someone driving down the road. You would literally have to drive for it for that to be the case. The zip line. The zip line is attached to a normal mooring pole that they're all along the river. The zip line during high tide is about 12 feet off the water. The actual wire is 12 feet off the water. There is no boat, even during high tide, that could go underneath that zip line and touch it. I have a 29-foot offshore boat that I have tried it with. I will float my 29-foot boat underneath the zip line during high tide, and it has a huge tower on it, and I'm still 3 to 4 feet from that line. There is, in my opinion, no hazard to anyone, even if they tried, for the zip line itself, other than the pole out in the water, which is common for this. Last thing I'd like to speak of with your time is the trampoline. If I could do the trampoline a different way, I would. The trampoline during low tide is in less than 1 feet of water. During high tide, once again, it's in the trampoline is flush with high tide, which is why it is set at that height. If the commission feels that it would be better to make it visible by putting PVC pipes in, I'm all for it. I put in the galvanized pipe because I would not have any issues of obviously rusting. But these poles are so close to the shore that, again, a boat could not, on a normal basis, unless they tried to, be in any danger whatsoever with that. And again, this is not something I did 1 year. This is 3 years. I had no idea in the world that I had to come to a commission to put a trampoline in the water in my backyard. I'm not trying to demean what I should be doing. I just had no idea that that was even a consideration that I had to have. So in no way in this whole entire project have I been doing this to get away with something or to do it behind someone's back, because I did spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and months getting approved what I believe needed to be approved. And even then, when this particular situation came up, the Army Corps of Engineers tells me that I need to resubmit a permit application to them, because Isle of Wight was not in their legal rights to give me permission to do what they gave me permission to do 6 years ago. So if commissions can't, in my opinion, if commissions can't, from city to city, be clear on who and what needs to be done, how can a law-abiding citizen know all the ins and outs of these little things? The last thing is the PVC pipes. These PVC pipes are less than the diameter of most of the sticks that our commercial fishermen use to delineate their long lines in front of my home. These are to warn my daughter and other visitors of massive trees prehistoric trees that are 8-10 feet round in some cases. I put a pole there and tell them, stay to the right of the poles and you're safe. Go to the other side and you're not so safe. So it's just there to warn my beachers and people who are visiting not to go to one side. This side of the beach is heavily rocked. Most of this river, this beach is, as soon as you get in the water, is nothing but rocks. And when the clam shells and the oyster shells and stuff grow on those, that is a major hazard. So I do my best to keep a walkway, I guess is the best way to say it, done. Can you go one more slide for me, and then I will finish with your time. Keep going to the pictures I sent you, please. Yeah, that was fun. This picture here, if you see the floating platform, these are 2 feet tall. And if we look closely here, that is not even underneath water yet. That concrete is not underwater, and it's only 2 foot tall. And these are the three poles that we're speaking of that I've got showing. So I tell my guests, between here and here, you can safely walk out and not be in any danger. If someone drives between here and these poles with a boat, they are a danger to themselves. I am not their danger. This water, on average, 2 to 4 feet deep max, all the way out at the poles, is no more than 4 feet deep. Once again, I'm protected on both sides by not only this, but by my neighbor's pier. And you can see at low tide, there is the trampoline sitting there. And we have the trampoline, again, 4 feet off the water, so we actually have to use a ladder to get on it, because when the tide's in, then it's basically flush with the water. Distance from the trampoline to the shore, I'm saying probably 75 to 100 feet from the shore, where everything surrounding me is in the 200 to 500 feet long range. That's all.
Okay. Questions of Mr. Aveyard? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you explain a little more about the use and function of the water trampoline?
It's a trampoline. It's just a regular trampoline. With me living on the James, where my house is built, I have been forbidden to put anything in my backyard because of a 100-foot riparian line. I can't put anything in my backyard whatsoever, so the only choice I have for the trampoline is in the water. Now, in the water, it's not necessarily a floating trampoline. It has legs, just like a normal trampoline does. So it's not one of those blow-up things. I tried that the first year I was here. The first nor'easter storm that came along, that was $500 in the drain.
Okay, so are people jumping on the trampoline out there or jumping into the water?
Well, not necessarily jumping in the water unless it's high tide. You know, you wouldn't want to jump in 1 foot of water off of a trampoline. That would be kind of dangerous, but... jumping during high tide, absolutely. We can jump in the water. I mean, I bought a waterfront home to enjoy. And same with the zip line. The zip line, you ride down, the water's 2-3 feet deep. You know, you're 10 feet above, but because you're hanging down from the line, you know, as a person, you're only 3-4 feet off of the water. It's fun. It's great.
Mr. Fox?
How is the trampoline anchored?
Right now I use 1.5-inch, the same posts you used to put up a chain link fence.
Okay.
Those exact posts.
Galvanized posts.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I put them in. I only nail put them with a hammer, so they're able to be removed if I have to remove them. But it would not be able to be removed on a daily basis. Use as a matter of availability.
Would you take them out in the wintertime?
Absolutely, sir. That's not a problem. Yeah. They were left there because they were not a navigational hazard. And to be quite honest, with them being galvanized, they'd last 3 or 4 years without me needing to replace them. But if it's the committee's opinion that when the trampoline is not in use for the season that it needs to be removed, I'd be okay with that. But there is no more navigational hazard of that than my own platform sitting there. My platform would be more of a navigational hazard if we wanted to be kind of legit about it. Than those posts, because those posts will move. If I hit them with a jet ski, they will move because they're not tall enough to wrap around and hit someone. The jet ski would push them out of the way. But there again, someone would have to be going in and out of every dock in order to even be anywhere close to my property in this case.
All right, and the zip line, will you have three pylon out there for that?
I do, sir. Two pylons. I originally put one pylon out with the zip line going to it, decided that that would not be safe. So I separated the pylons and put a Y bar in front so that now even if you let go going full throttle, you could not get anywhere near those poles. So again, worried about, as Mr. Stagg said, a safety for me as much as I am for anyone else.
But the poles are there permanently and they...
Yes, they're regular mooring poles just like for any dock, and I use them for multiple things. I put my boat, if I'm going to leave my boat for a few hours, I can't bring the boat up any closer because obviously it won't float it, so I have to leave it out there, and at low tide, it can't be moved. The boat cannot be moved at low tide on those poles all the way out there. So I use it for that. I use it for the swim platform. We'll put it out there and put an umbrella and, you know, let friends sit out there while we're ziplining. You know, it's just for fun. And I'm sorry that the commission has to listen to something about fun, but, you know, that's why I bought the house. You know, I bought it to enjoy the water. I'm a water person.
Thank you. Do you have anyone else to speak in your project? Okay. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak on this item? Ben, you have anything else for us?
No. Again, he's been very cooperative through the process.
Any final questions, Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for Ben. We're typically asked to consider the water dependency of what we're permitting over state-owned bottom. I mean, do you have thoughts on the water dependency of the trampoline?
I think that's why we didn't have a whole lot of heartburn with recommending approval of the floating platform, because he didn't have a pier, so he's using it sort of similar to a pier structure or a swimming platform. The trampoline is not inherently water dependent, we don't think. You know, most trampolines are on land. I understand why, you know, how he's using it. I don't know if we've ever had a request before for a trampoline over the water, so we don't have any history of people asking for it as a water dependent use. So I think that's part of why we have some issues with it. And then the way it's attached to pipe, and then it's, as he stated, historically he's taken it out and left the pipe. I understand it's shallow. I don't think he mischaracterized the depths or anything there. He's correct. It's very shallow. Very shallow here. And there are other obstructions in the water. There are stumps. So, you know, it's really up to the commission whether they deem this as an appropriate use of state-owned bottom land for the purposes he's requesting.
Staff is recommending approval of the trampoline if it's somehow attached to the bottom differently?
Well,
is that what you're suggesting?
There's a way to do that. It sounds to me like the way he characterizes it is, I really thought it was more of a real floating trampoline, which I guess he did try, than this is just a trampoline. It has to be attached, I think, the way I heard it, to poles. And I think that's the concern we have, is the whole poles. And of course, he says, you know, he can remove them, so it's not deployed. I can see the trampoline itself, when it's deployed, it's not a whole lot different than the floating platform. You can see it from the boat. The commission would want to approve it for seasonal use, provided it removes the entire apparatus and it's not deployed, including the poles. We don't allow metal pipes for worst ground.
Right.
You know?
Metal pipes are a problem.
Metal pipes are a problem.
I agree.
I would be willing to do PVC.
Any further questions of Mr. Plumley?
I'm just curious about our jurisdiction on these two unique issues. The pilings, I understand.
Right.
The line to the pilings, how do we reach the lines with our jurisdiction?
Historically, our jurisdiction is over, under, or upon state-owned land. So trenched in, power lines, things laid on the bottom, things driven in the bottom, power lines over the bottom, like Dominion Power.
And the concern is the safety concern for the zip line when it comes to navigation. That's our only concern. Is that how you see it?
Yes. And the it's up to the commission if you believe this is close enough inshore that it doesn't constitute, based on his testimony. I don't dispute the height off the water that he gave you. It's 12 to 15 feet.
And with the trampoline, why is this not treated like a private pier construction?
Code allows for a private pier fixed to the land. We have always taken the stand that any type of floating apparatus that's not attached to the land requires a permit because it's not specifically addressed in the permit exemption.
And attached to the land
with... The platform and the floating trampoline both would require a permit if they're going to be deployed, even seasonally.
But to be attached to the land, you would want to see a structure out to the trampoline or the trampoline
right.
connected.
It could be a fixed pier partway out. And then, I mean, we allow floating docks in association with a fixed pier.
Right.
But they're attached basically to the dock. But this, he does move this around by his own testimony.
Thank you.
Mr. Fox?
Your concern with the zip line is the pilings?
No, we're recommending allowing him to keep the pilings. He uses those for moor his boat, too, and we allow
right.
people to have mooring piles. But typically, just, you know, a mooring pile requires a permit if it's not associated with a pier. These are just
so the zip line, your reason for objecting to the zip line is height?
Well, I think our concern was just that a boat could go between the zip line and land.
Yes.
And if it was a high enough tide and was a big enough boat, someone could get clotheslined, basically. You've heard his testimony with his own boat. It is what it is.
Mr. Beck?
My comment would be he's exactly right on the shallow water. I've been over there years ago, and it's very, very shallow. We could anchor 75 yards off, and my kids could step into the water off my boat. So he is exactly right.
You're
it
right.
is very shallow.
I live in Olive White County, and I know how shallow it is there. It is very shallow for a good ways out at this location.
Any further questions?
Is there a way to make the zip line safe from a navigation point if you were to mark it?
I don't know.
In your view?
My staff has any. I don't know how you mark a zip line other than you can make him mark the pole, but I don't really know how that really marks the zip line itself.
Flags or whatever.
Well, you got to be able to zip down it. I don't know how you put anything on it. Zip line.
It forks off. There may be a way to put the flags in a way that are out of the way. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of something.
I mean, you could require him to put some type of orange flagging, a flag, not just surveyor's tape, but something
mm-hmm.
semi-permanent that would stay out there on the V part, I guess. That would help.
This is a unique situation, I think, that we've had before. Mr. Tankers,
I'm sure it is unique. I just... The boat traffic that is around here, could you tell us a little bit about that and why you did think it was a safety concern?
Well, you do have Tyler's Beach, which is nearby, which is used by the public for all kinds of boating, including jet skiing. You know, I'll concede it's probably unlikely that any kind of work boat or even most fishing boats would go this close to shore at this location because it is so shallow. And this area has a lot of submerged pilings and stumps all along this reach of shore. But there is a public boat ramp at Tyler's Beach, as you saw in the go back to the beginning.
The kind of boat that would have a tower on it and be able to get into that.
His property is right here, and Tyler's Beach is right here. So, I mean, it's pretty close to where a lot of people put boats in. And we try to err on the side of the least experienced boater on a jet ski who might decide, you know, it would be fun to zip up and down the shoreline and go in and out between people's piers. That's our concern. And we don't want to permit something that creates a liability for him. There are some liability issues, we believe, here related to a number of these structures. While we understand he wants to use his property, in the way he's been using it. We've got no complaint. There's been no complaints. He's had this stuff out there for a number of years, and no one's complained.
Beck?
One more thought. You suggested maybe some way of putting a marker or something on the zip line. Would it be possible to put a small sign on your piling out there that says just a warning sign? I mean, when you go up and down these tributaries in the bay and what have you, you often see warning signs, cable underwater or cable above water. That would be a simple answer to your question, I would think. A simple small sign says warning, zip line.
I worry about, you know, night time, people new to the area, that sort of, you know, off opportunity to give them some warning, to see something, to react to, but I'm not sure if that's possible.
If it would help to put a, I would be willing to put on the top of the pylons battery-operated, solar-powered floodlights that would come on at night, you know, dusk to dawn or whatever, pointing at it. But we're I don't want to be facetious here, but we're talking about giving someone who is on a jet ski or a jet boat notice that there's a line 12 and a half to 15 feet above them. They couldn't get there if they tried to. It's impossible. That's why I put it that high. It's impossible for them to do it. And if a boat came in, someone would be having to stand on top of their tuna tower and get the boat in there in the first place in order to get to that height. My 29-foot offshore boat has a full top rack, and I can still get on the top rack and not touch the wire unless I'm trying to. So we're offering to put signs up. I'm offering to put lights up. I'm offering to do all of this to appease me being able to use this. But to be, it's all futile. It's putting a sign up saying don't walk on the grass when there's no grass there. You know, it doesn't make any sense.
Thank you. Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to point out that typically if we do require any marking, it's usually in accordance with Coast Guard regulations. And that's been our past practice, at least, when marking pilings or anything else related to public safety. So I don't know if there's any convention for such a marking, but just point that out.
Yeah. If you go down that road, I guess we'd have to do some coordination with Coast Guard to see if what we're proposing is acceptable to them as well.
We do, for instance, require signage on aquaculture leases where there are cages in the water. There is a standard that we use for those, you know, the wording, the height of the lettering, reflective tape, things of that nature that I think could be utilized in this instance.
May I ask say one more thing?
One more thing, and that is going to be up to the commission.
I have, this is something Ben doesn't have, but he was talking about earlier up near the Jamestown Ferry that these blocks are used often up there. When I was on the ferry the other day, I snapped four pictures that I'd like to, I'm sorry I didn't make a copy for everybody, but these are pylons sitting out 50, 75, 100 feet from the end of these people's docks that they run a wire to or a piece of rope to and use it as a pulley system because the water's shallow there as well, so they'll hook their boat and then pulley it out there out of the way. There's no signs on these. There's no lights on these. They're poles. What I have with the zip line are the same exact poles. They're just taller.
Thank you. Matter is now before the commission. Mr. Tankard.
I'll start off, Mr. Commissioner. I certainly sympathize with the applicant's right to use this property. At the same time, you know, zip lines and trampolines all seem to me things that could be on land, and I don't know if the state needs to be in the business of sponsoring these type of activities over state on bottom. I'm sure there can be a hazard to navigation, to be honest. You've got a public landing, and it never ceases to amaze me what the public can do with a boat or a jet ski. So my sense is that I would feel as though we are appropriate taking staff recommendation here. I won't make that a motion, though. I'll just offer that as a beginning of. Okay.
Any other comments? Mr. Fox?
I guess I've, in this circumstance, given the facts and circumstances here, I don't think we've got a serious problem, and I would be inclined to approve his application as submitted. I wonder whether I'm creating, by that comment, whether we're creating a precedent that we don't want. And so that's my concern. I don't think that the items that he has will be a problem in this circumstance, but in another circumstance, maybe so.
Mr. Plumlee.
Well, yeah, this is a very difficult decision, not because of the use. I think the gentleman has gone beyond the highest call of duty to try to create a fun environment for his family, and I do regard him highly for that effort. I think he's been very honest with everyone. The trouble becomes when you try to anticipate public safety issues that could arise and future decisions that are going to come before us on these types of matters and what we're going to do. I do see under 28.2.1203 that it's unlawful to build or encroach upon or over subaqueous beds, so I think that's our jurisdiction. And I think I could be persuaded either way on this call. So I'm not helping the matter. I think I'm just kind of trying to sum up what we're trying to decide here. I don't think any of us want to be the ones to approve it, and I don't think any of us necessarily want to be the ones to deny it. So it's a difficult call. Maybe another brave member can push forward.
Mr. Sessoms.
Well, listening to the testimony, I guess I have a couple of thoughts. Number one is I don't see where this is a big danger or hazard to boaters because of the depth, number one. And number two is these structures are visible, probably more so than a lot of other structures along the bank here. Number two, I don't see, maybe this is a legal question, where this use is prohibited. And I guess my position, if it's not prohibited, then I don't see a problem with it. I'm leaning towards approving it. That's where I'm coming from, for those reasons.
Mr. Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Obviously, I think some of the most critical questions here relate to public safety. That's what staff has identified as concerns. And I think we need to treat those carefully. With respect to the trampoline, I guess I'm a little bit torn because I really don't see this as a water-dependent structure, and that's often at the heart of our decisions is in permitting anything. And yet, permitting it on a seasonal basis, provided that the poles are going to be removed, and to the extent that that would mitigate the public safety consideration, I think it might be acceptable. I think we have a bigger question to wrestle with, though, with respect to the public safety aspects of the zip line. It does sound, based on the testimony we've heard, that the possibility of an interaction with the boat is remote, given the depth of the water. And yet, we are permitting something that we have to consider how this will affect other public uses of the waterway. So there's certainly a very strong tension between those two, and that's what we're going to have to resolve, obviously.
Mr. Palmer.
Firstly, I'd like to see the man enjoy his property. He's got a family, he's got kids, let them have a good time, but we've got to get rid of those galvanized pipes.
I think staff has laid out their concerns, and they primarily revolve not around water dependency but around safety. And I think, as Mr. Robbins said, we've heard sufficient testimony to understand that the possibility of some event occurring is remote. And I think there are other ways that have been described that we can mark these structures to mitigate that danger, perhaps with signage on the zip line poles or some type of flagging up where it comes into a V. But if you give me a tie vote, I would be inclined to I think, approve the project with those provisions and further provisions that this be approved on a seasonal basis with the some of those poles being removed. So we need a motion.
Yeah.
Mr. Sessom.
I'll make a motion to approve it, subject to the trampoline being seasonally taken in and using PVC instead of galvanized pipe, along with signage on the zip line post with a warning. And I guess staff can work with the applicant on how that should be worded.
Is there a second to that motion?
One question.
Question from Mr. Fox.
How about the civil charge of $1,000 and the triple permit fee of $75, since some of this was after the fact? Well, all of it's after the fact.
You also need the groins. We need a motion to include the groins.
Right.
I'll make a motion to approve the groins.
You're adding in the groins to your motion.
The groins.
And the floating platform, I assume.
Yes, and the floating platform.
And the permit fees and civil charge?
The motion would be to include those.
Okay. Everyone clear on the motion now? The motion is to approve the groins, the floating platform, the zip line with appropriate warning signage as determined by staff, the trampoline with PVC piping, seasonally removed and approved on a seasonal basis. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Fox. Further comments on the motion? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do continue to have some concerns about safety. I think essentially, though, the applicant is taking on some of these liabilities with respect to jumping off trampolines into the water, whether it's 1 feet or 4 feet. Having said that, I'll support the motion as amended. Or as presented.
Any further comments? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Thank you. Staff will be in touch with you on that signage details.